Word on Today FM.
Aoife Barry, the writer of Social Capital and journalist, and Ian Parr, chief executive of Spunout.ie, are with us for the week trending. Aoife, I'd like to start with the number of teachers, qualified registered teachers, who are working overseas, because apparently the number has been worked out.
Yeah, so apparently there's 123,000 plus teachers registered with the Teaching Council, so that's kind of a greater number, but more than 4,600 Irish teachers are estimated to be working abroad. And this was kind of the first official effort to basically try and quantify the number of teachers that might have emigrated from Ireland. And it's a joint project between the Central Statistics Office and the Department of Education and the Teaching Council. So, you know, I think this is definitely a topic that's of massive interest to them, to figure out, who's leaving, are they leaving? And when you look at the stats as well, that about 60% of these teachers are aged between 25 to 34. Like, that's the key stat there. It's like, these are young teachers who are graduating and then realising Ireland is kind of no place for teachers to live in at the moment.
Well, hang on, is that what they're thinking, or is that an assumption we're making?
Could be an assumption.
I fully understand that rents are so high and the ability to purchase a house for that generation is something that they looked like they might never be able to do. But it could also equally be the case that a lot of them are going because it's a way for them to earn large sums of money to use as a deposit for when they come back, and also that they see it as actually a great lifestyle choice for a few years while they're young.
Yeah, well, I think that also speaks to the issue. So that idea of you can go to a sunnier, warmer country, earn way more money where the, you know, the role potentially pays more than you get at home, and you can quickly earn that house deposit and move because it's so difficult for you to get a house here. Like, that all kind of, to me, ties into the same thing. And I mean, I totally am not saying it in a negative way. In one sense, the proportion of people going abroad is just part of what it is to be young. It's that freedom. You can travel. But there is going to be people, I would think, who say, well, hang on, I'm not going to stay here in dreary Ireland where I don't know if I'll ever be able to even move out of my parents' home after getting qualified into a really difficult job that, like, it doesn't always get the thanks that it deserves.
Yeah, I mean, like, figuring out the quality of life equation means that you're adding up all of these different things. And I guess the role of the government is to try and make sure that when they do the final calculation, that it's actually worthwhile to stay here. We have a massive teacher shortage crisis at the moment. You'll hear the principals on radio talking about it, particularly at the start of the school year when they're struggling to fill posts. And we also have, like, we've a lot of students with additional needs who have no school places because of the teacher shortage. So for me, it's about quality of your life. And, like, if you look at London, for example, right, rent is notoriously expensive in London. We're not unique in that in Dublin, but there's a particular problem here on the East Coast. But they have a thing called the London waiting, so teachers in London get an extra kind of top up 10% or thereabouts on their salary to be able to deal with the increased cost of living. That's something that we should be looking at.
It's something we discussed on this programme last night in relation to Gardaí, and it's something we have talked about for all types of essential public servants over the last couple of years, but every minister that I've pressed on it does not want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it's a shame because it's something that can actually deal with the problem, and particularly for, you know, those healthcare workers, maybe the teachers, the guards, the people who we need to attract into those jobs. You know, I think it's something that we can't ignore. The other thing as well, like, from a perspective of buying houses, is I don't understand why, you know, we're still allowing the bulk purchase of homes, like that it wasn't comprehensively dealt with in the last budget. That's something that we could easily do to stop kind of housing units being snapped up and gobbled up by big companies.
But hold on a second, just get a little bit factual on this as well. The state buys more of these housing estates than international investment funds. So if you find yourself outbid or unable to buy in a newly built housing estate, it's much more likely to be because the state has bought these for social and affordable housing. And in addition to that, you have to look at the potential that if these institutions are stopped from buying the completed housing estates or apartment blocks, that actually these wouldn't have been funded to be built in the first place at all.
I don't know if I'd agree with that last point. I think in the first case, the government are buying them. I think that's not a bad thing. I don't mind competing with our own government who are buying social and affordable houses for people who need them. I don't really agree with allowing kind of international speculators to come in and buy them just so that they can get yields of 6% and 8% a year and have that go back into their pension funds or whatever it is that they're buying them for. The other thing as well is, you know, short-term lets in Dublin in particular is kind of reducing the stock as well. So look, anyway, all of these are just to say, like, the housing issue is a massive one. It's driving young teachers abroad.
Yeah, another listener says the bigger question is how many of the registered teachers working abroad are on a career break, that they actually have jobs that they actually take career breaks from.
Well, there's no harm in that. Like, I don't really see that as a problem. And as we always say when we talk about immigration, like going abroad and getting experience is a good thing. You bring that back into the classroom here. Like, we have a shortage of teachers. So, like, if they chose to come back from their career break, we'd be delighted.
Okay, another listener says, as a parent of three, I've had more bad experiences with teachers than good. I really don't think any further money should be given to them unless they are prepared to have evaluation-based pay similar to the private sector. Also, Ireland can't compete with Middle East countries that don't have tax on income.
Yeah, I suppose there's two different things there. And one thing is, like, are we all going to let our individual experiences with a certain type of worker dictate how we think those people should actually be treated for the rest of their life? Like, you know, I wouldn't. Like, and
maybe
I'm sure
it was Michael O'Leary texting him, but I don't.
So I suppose we can't have, like, government policy based on whether or not people have had good or bad teachers. But that's not to say that people have not had bad experiences with all sorts of different people, including teachers. So there's that element of it. And then I think the other element, I mean, people, you know, we all know people who are like, well, why would I not go to a country and work there? And to them, that makes sense that they want to do that and they don't have to pay tax and they can save up and they can have a lovely, luxurious life to their mind. Other people would really rather not go to certain countries for different reasons. But, like, there's all different factors there. And I think for me as well, there's a bigger question of, like, what kind of country do we want to live in? Like, do you want to live in a country where the government is not looking farther ahead at the impact of issues such as housing crisis and rent crisis on an entire generation of people, some of whom are teaching the next generation of people, and the impact of that?
There's one thing to be worried about as well, as the snowball effect, because you don't want to be the last kind of teacher of your class left, you know. So kind of there's a pull factor abroad when a significant kind of percentage of a class moves as well, you know. So we really need to kind of arrest the problem before it gets worse.
Okay, more comments. The government should make any newly qualified teacher or any public service graduate who has received a grant to 2 years service in Ireland after being qualified. Taxpayers are funding their education and then they just run off when qualified.
And do we force commerce graduates to work in McDonald's? I don't see the logic of that.
Interesting, kind of I think when we think of teachers, the particular pressures that people feel they should be under in order to prove role.
I mean, it's all of our taxes ultimately. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's very easy for you to claim it's your taxes paying for somebody else to go to college.
Another one says about teachers abroad, a major issue that has been flagged time and time again by the teacher unions is the issue of incremental credit not been awarded to teachers returning from abroad. I went abroad as a teacher of 6 years teaching experience. My husband was seven, and when we returned 4 years later with 10 and 11 years respectively, the fact that we had worked in private schools during our time abroad was not recognised, and we returned to the same point on the pay scale in Ireland that we had left, having been bypassed by teachers with less experience with us. There are a large number of excellent experienced teachers abroad who will not return for this very reason.
Yeah, that definitely points to the gaps that are there that some people might not even realise by the signs of it before they actually head off. And that, I think it speaks to the idea too, where you can have this idealised version, not saying this person did, but we all can have an idealised version of, I'll go abroad, it's a wonderful country, I'll earn X amount, etc. The realities of the actual bureaucracy and the red tape can actually prevent you from doing what you want to do.
Two ways as well, though. Like, you could say to yourself, well, actually, is that an incentive, a disincentive to go abroad? Mm-hmm. Do you know, if you know that in advance, and maybe is that something worth considering? Although, like, if we are in this situation where we have a shortage, should we be trying to loosen up things like that so we can get people to come back?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, another listener says, 2 years master's to qualify as a teacher costs €12,000. Students are paying, not the taxpayer. There would be people who say that that's not the full cost, but we're not getting into that argument now. Another one says, too many people are going to college and they think it's their right. They get a near free education and then leave the country. Stop educating to export, says another listener. Okay, what about the reform of the English paper? Yeah. In the Leaving Cert, because this is a criticism at times that we have not had enough reform of our exams from generation to generation.
Yeah, so this is interesting as well, and another kind of boomer commentary on this as well, in terms of things being dumbed down, which is always interesting that it's always after their generation that things get dumbed down. So this is a new thing that's been floated this week, which is a plan to ease kind of stress for students in the kind of exams where, you know, we all know that at the end of 6th year you're met with a barrage of exams as opposed to maybe spreading out that pressure over the course of fifth and sixth year. So Leaving Cert students, the proposal is that they do a project at the end of fifth year, which would count for 40% of their English mark, and then the remainder 60% would be towards the end of sixth year through one exam. So there's been a lot of commentary on it this week. There was an interesting contribution from a teacher in a school in Skibbereen earlier in the week on radio, where he was kind of setting out the arguments kind of for and against it. And I guess from his perspective, he felt that, you know, the creative writing aspect of it meant that, you know, if you're able to do the project at home, it might give advantage to people who, you know, students who have more resources available to them in the guise of parents or grinds or whatever it is. And he was also kind of saying that it's supposed to be an education experience, right? So kind of like that you're supposed to be able to kind of learn over the course of the 2 years and enjoy it, as opposed to, you know that you're going to have stuff at the end of fifth year to do and at the end of sixth year. To be honest, I think that, you know, we should be looking at this reform and starting looking at the CAO, because I think that's what's actually causing the most stress for students. And they are really, really up the walls. We hear from students all the time around the Leaving Cert how stressed they are. And it's serious, like that, you know, a lot of them, you know, not eating properly, not sleeping, you know, talking about suicidal ideation to us. So I think for me, I'd start at the CAO. But otherwise, we do need to start looking at these reforms. We do need to have some sort of solution.
Very quickly from you, do you have anything to add?
Things have to move on. Things have to move on, I think, with English. So it is a cumulative, study and subject where you do learn more and more the more you read, the more you write. So you do want to do a Leaving Cert exam with students where they feel like they've continually learned and read. But I do think overhaul of things is never bad. We can't keep doing that. Everything the same way we used to do it back when we were in school. So why not?
Okay. Michelle says, I'm a primary teacher of over 20 years. The education system is going down the drain fast due to lack of funding, ignoring the concerns of schools, not half enough resources to allow the school to properly meet the needs of children. And by the way, we pay plenty of taxes too. Lots more to get through in the week trending. We'll be talking about that Robbie Keane story, for example. He took up a job last year, in the middle of last year, in Israel with Maccabi Tel Aviv as manager, just a number of months before the horror and the atrocity of the Hamas attack of October 7th. And many people felt afterwards, as Israel reacted to the vast majority, I think, of Irish people disproportionately in what it has done, and the horrors that we have seen in Gaza and in Lebanon since, and the senseless loss of countless lives. Many people put Robbie Keane under pressure as to whether he should remain in Israel. And indeed, he quit his job at the end of the season, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and returned home. So, Aoife Barry, tell us about what his wife Claudine has been saying, what she and he have experienced since he left Israel.
Yeah, she was tweeting recently about feeling unsafe because of some of the backlash that he was getting online from people. She's an active user on X/Twitter. And it seems to have reached kind of a new peak, because he basically was invited by the FAI to present caps to Ireland players at an event, which then gave people the reason to see him back in the media. And then,
because there were photographs released by the FAI of him making the presentations.
Yes, and I believe his children were also in the hotel there as well too. So like the family were present, and they're back in Ireland, living in Ireland. And so Claudine Keane, who's a former model, she tweeted saying that some messages she was getting left her family feeling uncomfortable, intimidated. She said, I want to remind people, this is a small group of individuals, that's who she targeted this at. She said she wanted to remind them that her family, her children and her live in Ireland. This is their home. She said, I always felt safe in Ireland until now. They are taking every bit of enjoyment and safety away from me and my family. And interestingly as well too, obviously, which is related to the Maccabi role, she said, we are not politicians. We have never done any wrong. My husband spent the majority of his adult life committed to the Ireland team, total and utter commitment. So she's emphasising his career there, and also trying to, I suppose, take away any political connection to it. But you can't really avoid any, talk of Palestine.
Chris Andrews, the Sinn Féin TD for Dublin-based South, who has been for many, many years, has been an activist in relation to Gaza and Palestine. He tweeted this week when he saw these photographs, that's extremely disappointing from the FAI, given Robbie Keane's role in sports washing apartheid and genocidal Israel. Now, is that fair of Chris Andrews to actually accuse Robbie Keane of sports washing apartheid and genocide?
I don't know if it is fully, truly fair, given that he took up the role before October 7th of last year.
And left 2 years before the end of his contract.
Yeah, and left when he was doing well. Like, I mean, they won the league and he seemed to have been performing well. Like, I understand where people are coming from on this. There was another tweeter, Dermot Looney, was talking about this as well, talking about, you know, Robbie not engaging in the sporting boycott. And, like, I do think these things are important, because if you don't, you see, for example, the US or other people taking a leadership role, like, then it's down to everybody to have their voices heard. And there are things that you can do. Now, leaving during the season, is that a realistic ask of Robbie Keane? I don't know. Seems to be a nice guy. I think Claudine on Twitter, she has kind of been saying, she's been kind of reacting to a lot of the criticism, you know, and kind of getting involved in that kind of criticism, and then also talking about the abuse. And I think it's really important that we are able to kind of decipher between the two, you know.
Yeah.
Threats against someone's family are absolutely not acceptable. However, criticizing somebody is completely okay to do if you feel that they've done something that you are aggrieved with. And it seems like a lot of people do feel like he shouldn't have stayed and that he should have come home. And I think maybe that's a high bar to put on somebody. You know, you don't know everybody's circumstances, and like, quitting your job is a big thing to do. But
okay, there are people texting and saying he shouldn't have gone there in the first place, because apartheid in Israel against Palestinians,
yeah,
didn't start in October 7th. But there's another listener saying, oh, the old baying Twitter mob, you can't beat it. Lots of people, though, are abandoning Twitter, aren't they, for Jack Dorsey's new creation, Blue Sky.
Yes, a lot of people are. I think it was a million new users. I'll get the figure there in a second. 1 million users since the US election. And yeah, I mean,
people, have you joined it yet?
I actually joined it about a year or so ago, but I'm not really active on it.
Ian, are you on it?
Just today, because I read this story.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with regard to the Robbie Keane thing, like, the joy of social media is that it's a space for people, ostensibly a public square. We can argue about whether or not it is, but people can say what they want. They can speak, you know, truth to whatever they like. At the same time, people don't always follow the rules of fair comment, and people can say things on there that are wholly untrue. And also, when you are receiving those messages to you, even if they might be true but critical, you can feel like you're really being taken to task over something, especially some things about your family. And also, just to add, I don't think sports has a particularly great reputation for its its principles and different, you know, people. You know, I think there's a long history there of people maybe making decisions or in sports people are not very happy with. But anyway, all that to say on on Blue Sky, it's really interesting, I think, because of the aftermath of the US election and because of Elon Musk's very, very close relationship with Donald Trump, the decisions that were made by Donald Trump to place Elon Musk in this new Department of Government Efficiency, and the fact that since the end of 2022 and Elon Musk, letting it sink in that he was the new owner of Twitter and now called X, people have wanted to make some sort of a stand. So he had this kind of mass exodus at the end of 2022, and now the people have realised that he's kind of gone through the corridors of power and ended up pretty much in the White House. They really want to leave Twitter. And that is, of course, all to the benefit of Jack Dorsey, who used to be the CEO of Twitter, who runs Blue Sky.
Indeed. But could it be, Ian, that even if you did migrate your account in whatever way, well, you'd have to start from scratch again in Blue Sky, but that a lot of the trolls will just simply follow over onto Blue Sky from Twitter and X and try and actually do the same sort of mob mentality over there?
Yeah, well, on every platform, you're going to get some of that. I guess kind of what's happened with X over the past kind of, you know, 2 years is that it's been allowed to just completely, go completely down the tubes in terms of there's no moderation. Whereas actually one of the things with Blue Sky was that it was invite only up until earlier this year, because they wanted to kind of test it out and actually get the moderation right. And it is interesting that Jack Dorsey sold Twitter for $44 billion to Elon Musk, and then now he's setting up the alternative to it. And also interesting that that Donald Trump uses his own platform, Truth Social. He doesn't actually use Elon Musk's Twitter, which I think probably annoys Elon as well.
I mean, I was going to say, sorry, just in regards to whether or not trolls kind of can carry over or not. The thing about a place like Blue Sky is, like, the bigger that the social network, a social media platform actually gets, the more chance there is for the culture to become less friendly, we'll say. Yeah. And the smaller things are and the few people there are there, naturally it's easier to keep the kind of trolls in check. But as Blue Sky gets bigger and it's adding these 1 million new users, you will get bad actors coming in there. You will get people who want to stir up trouble.
But, and that's, Ian, a few listeners are saying Trump has been using Twitter.
Well, I think he's just got back and pasting it. The same tweets or same posts from Truth Social.
Yeah, but he gets a much bigger audience on X than he gets on Truth Social. Listener says, maybe if Robbie Keane made a statement to denounce genocide in Gaza, it might go a long way towards addressing the problem.
That's a good point. I mean, I think that's what people are looking for. They're looking for you know, his team to speak on his principles.
And I think we're talking about the corporate world and the sports world versus, you know, the kind of the everyday person, and that it can be really easy to say, well, why don't you make a statement? And yet behind the scenes, there can be all these complicated business reasons. I'm not saying that's an excuse or anything, but there are all of these reasons why people don't make comments. And that is disappointing. And it is an unfortunate truth and fact in the world that is why some people don't speak out.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Aoife Barry and Ia Power, thank you so much.
The Last Word on Today FM.